I submit my life unto you. The Lord has been talking to us since Friday. He has taken us through his refiner's fire. He has melted us. He has purged us. But he still wants to do more because he wants us to be the best. He did not want us to choose our own way, but he wants us to be whom he wants us to be. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Stamp your image deep on my heart. Until we have the image of Christ in our heart, we will be struggling. We will be fumbling. We will be struggling. Let us commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Our Lord, we thank you. It is time to listen to your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak unto us your mind. You will instruct us on what you want us to do. And you give us strength and power to do what you want us to do in Jesus' name. Be with us, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord for this Easter retreat as we started on Friday. And the Lord has been helping us. And he's not tired of helping us because he's our Father. And now we want to look at the word of the Lord. There is confusion in the world. There is ongoing battle in the world. There is battle of truth and the battle of error. Two of them are going side by side. There is battle of right. There is battle of wrong. Two of them are going side by side. There is battle of love. There is battle of ministry. Two of them are going side by side. And this conflict involves self-denial. And that is why the Lord wants us to consider self-denial today. But before we can deny ourselves, what is self on its own? We need to look at self. And if you look at S, it is satanic in nature. When we are bringing back the nature of we that we profess to have divorced, we are bringing the nature back to us, then we have self in our life. When we have satanic in nature, when we exalt ourselves above others, then we have self in us. When we love men's praises than God praises, then there is self in us. When we focus on earthly things than heavenly things, then we have self in us. But the funny things about self is that self has level. How much of self do you have in you? When a farmer goes to the farm, he sows a seed under the earth, under the soil. And when the seed is covered with the cell, you cannot see anything. But after a while, the seed will germinate and it will spring up and you begin to see the plant growing and it will come to a stage, it begins to bear flower. There are some people that their self is at the stage of cover. It has not been exposed. You see cover at the farmer will cover the seed in the soil. And some people, their self level, it has really germinated, it has sprung up. People can see it, that it is green in color. It is this in color. And some people, their self is bearing fruit. They are moving from self to self. When we talk of self, we are talking about selfishness. When we talk about self, we are talking about egocentric. There is ego in you, dwelling in you, growing in you. When we are talking about self, we are talking about lingering. They linger in sin. They linger. They do not want to repent. They add the message all over and all over again. When you talk about self, we are talking about laboring in faith. Either you are working for God, either you are coming to church, you never come late, you clean the church, you render service, You do this and that, but self is in you. It's just a laboring in vain. It's a vain labor. When we talk about self, we are talking about fully. It means that you keep on doing continuously things that are not convenient. It is not convenient for you. Rather, it is not convenient in the kingdom. Today, as we look at the word of the Lord, I pray that the Lord will reveal his mind unto us. The Lord Almighty will reveal himself unto us, and he will do something new in our life in Jesus' name. We want to look at the word of God, and we are starting with the power of self-denial and victory over self. In Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24. Let us open our Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24. We are talking about power. And it is only God that can give all this power. Power of self-denial. If we are going to deny ourselves, then we need the power from above to help us to bail us out. And if we are going to have victory over ourselves, we need the help of God to help us. And all sufficient Christ is here today to help us. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I read from here. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, this is the requirement in the kingdom. If you say you are born again, and you claim it, and you believe it, and you want to follow the Lord, you need to do something. It is step by step. Jesus said unto his disciple, to be called a disciple is not sufficient, is not enough. If you want to bear that name, and you want to live up to that name, you need to do something. The Lord said, if you will come after me, if you are going to follow me, if you are going to live up to the expectation of a disciple, you need to deny yourself, deny himself, deny myself, deny themselves, deny ourselves. We need to deny himself and take up his cross. After denying yourself, you need to bear a cross. The cross could be in any shape and any form. It could be heavy and it could be wealthy. We need to bear the cross and we begin to follow the Lord. The power of self-denial. The power of self-denial and victory over self. The Lord wants to help us during this Easter retreat. The Lord wants us to be complete in him, and he wants to move us from our comfort zone to the zone he has prepared for us. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, we are going to read verses 2, 5, and 13. I read verse 2. I beseech Eudias and beseech Syntyche, and that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Apostle Paul was begging this Christian that they should be of the same mind in the Lord. In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Your moderation be known unto all men. If you say you are a Christian, live up to Christianity. Live up to the Christian lifestyle, Christian ways. Christian walk, live up to it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. You cannot say you are eating disciple and it is between you and God. The fruit you are bearing, other must see. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That is why you are capable of amazing things. You can deny yourself. You can do it. But Apostle Paul was addressing these two believers that they should not be selfish and they should not allow selfishness to cause confusion in their relationship. What causes trouble in relationship is mostly selfishness. When you are conscious of your identity more than the identity of others, husband and wife, you are conscious of your identity more than the identity of your wife, brother and brother, sister and sister, in the house of God, you are conscious of your identity more than the identity of others. Those are the things that cause confusion in the household of God. Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-will. These are the things that cause confusion in the house of the Lord. And Apostle Paul was addressing them. He said, I'm begging you for the sake of heaven, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. I'm begging you. And I'm begging you, brethren, today, that if you have the fullness of self in you, you need to offload it today, so that the Lord can be merciful unto you and the Lord can accept you. The Bible Dictionary of Thames defines self-denial as the willingness. Willingness. Brother and sister, you must be willing today to be free from self. Willingness to deny oneself possession. It could be your money. It could be your wisdom. It could be your time. It could be your life. It could be the opportunity that you have in life. Deny oneself possession or status in order to grow in holiness and commitment to God. You are not doing that for fun. You are doing it to grow in holiness. You are doing it to grow in righteousness. You are doing it to be able to render acceptable service to the Lord, so that you can be committed to the things of God. You lower yourself. Like John, let him increase and let me decrease. Christ is increasing in your life every day, and self is decreasing in your life every day. You are growing in Christ every day. You are growing low in self every day. That is what the Lord expected from you. Self never gives what it promises. It always returns less than the sinner invests in it. This is a shocking news for you and me, that self has nothing to offer you. Self cannot fulfill the promise he is giving unto you. And we saw that in the Bible character. We saw it. Self promised Adam and Eve freedom. Satan told them, you'll be free, you'll be like God. And he promised them a lot of things. But what happened? They ended up in curses. So self cannot fulfill what he's promising you. He can only push you to destruction. He can only push you to oppression. He can only push you to depression. Self cannot give what is promising. Whatsoever self is promising you, he cannot live up to that promise. Everything, when Eve listened to Satan with all the promises, the Bible said that she herself looked at the fruit, and he said, this fruit is pleasing to the eye. It's pleasing, but he never gets it. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, 16 to 19, it's there. He never gets it. She got curses. The Lord caused the land for the sake of Adam. The Lord rained curses on Eve herself. She promised something player, but he only had blind eyes, mockery, and untimely death. In Judges chapter 6, verse 4 to 5, 21 and 30. Look at the case of Samson. Very, very pathetic. Self took over his life in Nazarene. Somebody that the Lord raised up to make mark in his own time and to turn his own generation around. The Lord poured his power upon him. The Lord released his anointing upon him. But he subjected himself to self, and he was looking for player. Self was promising him player, but he got blind eyes in place of player. He got mockery in place of player. He got untimely death. You see, Samson was looking for love, and Delilah was looking for enticement, and he was looking for entanglement of Samson. You can see they were not on the same page. Self can never be on the same page with you. You will be looking at one side, self will be looking at the other side. This is what happened. He did not get what self promised him. Sir promised Ananias and Sapphira credit for generosity. But they go sudden death for being liars out of Apostles chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. And they agreed together. They were privy into this conspiracy, husband and wife. And Peter only spoke, and the conscience took it over from there. And he couldn't, the two of them couldn't survive. They died at different hour. But when the wife came, because they were privy into this, this was so horrible. The wife had the opportunity to repent. Have you given much? And the woman said, we have given much. She did not repent. And Peter said, what happened to the husband will surely happen to the wife, because two of them were liars. The Lord is calling us today that we should surrender ourselves unto the will and purpose of God. And we should allow self to get out of our life. That is the only time we can enjoy our Christian life. That is the only time we can get the best from the Lord. When we are free from self, when we are free from self, self-centeredness, self-will, self, when we are free, then the Lord will have his way in our life. And I pray that God Almighty will free us today in Jesus' name. We want to look at the first part of our message. We are looking at sacrifices and strength for self-denial. Self-denial is not automatic, and it cannot come without sacrifice. It cannot come without strength from the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. We read it in the book of Philippians. It is only strength through God and determination with sacrifices that we can deny ourselves. Ourself is close to us. Ourself is demanding. Ourself has a lot of requests every day, per second. And if we are going to deny the self for us to be victorious, then we need sacrifice to do that. I was reading about the firefighters during the 9/11 that took place about 22 years ago. And it really shocked me that one of them, it was a chief of, among the firefighters, and he has retired at this time. And when he got the news, he put on his uniform and he drove down to the arena of the incident, and he started rescuing the people. Unfortunately, he died in the fire. And I checked, about 343 people, firefighters, they died during the 9/11 events. And that, if you are going to use human resource accounting, that account for 4,400 years of training. It means about almost 13-year training for each worker. And they lost all of them in one day, only for sacrifice. They may decide to go to the hospital that day. They may decide to run away that day. But because they are given the oath of service, that whatsoever may happen, they will be available to rescue life. They jump inside the fire. And many of them were trapped and they couldn't survive. And they died in that fire. Have you sacrificed anything since you become born again? Have you sacrificed anything for the kingdom of God? All what you have is just pleasure. You only could do anything for God when it is convenient for you, when you are okay with it, when it did not take anything, it did not conflict with anything. Look at these people. Some of them may not be Christian, but look at what they did. But what about we Christians? Jesus has done so much for us. He has died on the cross of Calvary. He arose. And that is why we are rejoicing today, because his tomb is empty. But what have you sacrificed in the kingdom of God since you have given your life to Christ? Since you have given your life to Christ, if people can stay, somebody that have been tired, and they can use that as an excuse, that I play my role during my active service, but now I don't need to rescue any life. But he drove down to rescue life. His name is William Philham. He died at age 71. And people are talking about his sacrifice today. What will people be talking about? Your own sacrifice. In the book of John chapter 13. The book of John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, the brethren says, Pastor, you don't understand. We are in Europe. Yes, I'm in Europe with you. Another person said, Pastor, don't understand. Things are difficult here. Yeah, I've been in this difficulty for years. Yes. But look at our Lord Jesus Christ. At this point, he knew that he's going to die. This is not the best time for sacrifice. This is not the best time for self-denial. But Jesus will not allow self to take over his life. He knew that he's going to die. If you know that you are going to die, will you render any sacrificial effort or assistance to anybody again? You lock up the door of your mercy. But not Jesus Christ. Jesus will not lock up the door of his mercy despite he's going to die. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. If you are in this position, Jesus knew he lacked nothing. He has power. He has authority. Father has conferred everything on him. But he will not capitalize on this and lock the door of his mercy. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment. That's something you need to lay aside today. You need to lay aside self. Self is hindering you to serve God. Self is hindering you to make your service to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Self is a pollutant. It's polluting your sacrifices to the Lord. And you need to cast it away today. You need to give it up. The Lord Jesus Christ, he rises and he laid aside his garment and took a towel and guided himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was guided. Brethren, Jesus knew that his time was so short. Jesus knew that he's going to leave them physically and he's going to return back to heaven. Are you conscious that your time is short in this world? Are you conscious that you need to fulfill the ministry the Lord has committed into your hand? Are you conscious that there's no time to waste? Jesus was calculable. He was up and doing. He will not miss anything. Everything he ought to do for the disciples before he left them physically, he made sure that he do it. The same thing is coming back to us. The Lord has given us a timetable. How regular are we meeting up with the timetable that the Lord has set for us? How faithful are we to the timetable that the Lord has set for us? And we keep on calling ourselves, I am born again. We sing about being born again. We talk about being born again. We prepare to be born again. We cannot be born again with self. Self must famous. It must leave us before we can be sure of our salvation. And the Lord washed their feet. And Apostle Peter said, no, you should not wash me. The Lord told him, you do not know what you are doing. If I did not wash you, you will not be part of me. And he said, not only my feet, wash every part of my body. Do we know the implication of calling ourselves a Christian and still living a selfish life? The Lord said we should turn around today. And as we turn around, the Lord will have mercy upon us. He will be compassionate unto us, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. In verse 24, let no man seek his own. The word of God is clear. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Praise God for your life. You are able to do your quiet time this morning. What about brother and sister that wake up this morning? They couldn't pray. Do you remember to pray for them? Do you present their case before the Lord? And the Lord is praising the name of that brother in your heart. When you are doing your own quiet time, but you don't pay attention to it because you want to rush out of the presence of the Lord. The Lord said, let no man seek his own. Let no brother, let no sister seek their own. But every man another's way. Seek to the affairs of your brother. That is why they call us brethren. We are embarking this journey together and we are going to heaven together. We need to fix our problem together and solve our problem together. That is the only time we can be free. That is the only time we can be free from selfishness. In Romans chapter 14, I read verse 21. In Romans chapter 14, verse 21, the word of God says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby the brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. To drink is not sinful, to eat is not sinful, but the one you are going to eat that will make your brother to backslide, that will make your brother that will say, I will not follow this God again. There's nothing wrong in it to deny yourself. Deny yourself of that. Deny yourself of that for the sake of your brother. That is the kingdom life. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. How many people did you identify in your location that are weak? And you are strong and you need to draw closer to them to help them to come up like you so that they can be strong like you also. Let everyone of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, and this is our author and the finisher of our faith. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. The Lord has done it and is expecting us to do it. Denial of self involves overcoming the persistent fleshly demand. Our flesh is making demand on us all the time. And bringing them will bring all the demand to the submission to God's word. We screen all the demand of the self and we bring them to submission to the God's word. Jesus showed us a good example. He denied self and died for the sin of the whole world. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, let this cup pass over me. Luke chapter 22, verse 40 to 43. And he said, not as I will. If you look at your Bible very well, strength only came when he said, not as I will. When he surrendered to the will of the Lord. Not when he said, let this cup pass over me. But immediately he said, let your will be done. Help came. He got strength from above for self-denial. Jesus' disciples sacrificed their fishing business and followed their Lord and Master in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. The Lord said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And they follow him straightway. Immediately they follow him. Do you think about these people? Did they count the cost? They have to leave the business they have been doing for years. And they need to start a new vocation that they don't even know about. They want to become fishers of men now instead of fishermen. And they were looking at it. How do you think they will cope? How do you think they will fit in to the new lifestyle that they have? Apostle Paul sacrificed his rabbinical law skill and tent making for the furtherance of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, I count all for loss. This rabbinical skill accounted all for loss. He has used years under the leadership of Gamaliel, learning the law day by day, and he can't all a waste. For the sake of Christ, the believer needs conscious sacrifice and strength for self-denial. And I believe in God. All-sufficient Christ will give us strength today in Jesus' name. We want to look at struggle and surrenderedness to surmount the self. We want to look at struggle in Romans chapter 7. Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, was able to give us the picture of those that are struggling with self in chapter 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. All the time, you want to do good things. You plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Then there is opposition beside you. Yourself, he wants to oppose you and hinder you to achieve that. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I will not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But sin that dwelleth in me. I find them a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's a struggle. You are still struggling with the self. The Lord wants you to be free from your struggle today. And your struggle can only cease at the point that you surrender your life to the Lord. That is the point that you can begin to surmount yourself. That is the time you can begin to crush yourself. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us look at crucifixion. Our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. And you remember, by the time he said, I taste, the Lord cannot come from the cross and come down and walk to where he can get water. Because he's crucified. That is the implication. When we are crucified with Christ, self cannot have hold, cannot have influence, cannot have power over us anymore. It is a point that we surrender all. It is a point that we give up all. When we are crucified, you don't have any power of your own at that point in time. It is Christ that liveth in you, that is in control of your situation, of your circumstances, what to say, where to go, what to do, who to help. It is the Spirit of God that will be doing that for you. Let us go to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, I read verse 5. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. These are fornication. Mortify them. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. And confessiousness, which is idolatry. Evil confessiousness is idolatry. If you said you are criticizing those that are worshipping idols, and you say, thank God that God has saved you, you are not among them, and you are confessious, you are not far from them. That is what the Bible is telling us. You are not far from them. And the Lord is telling us that we should be free. We should mortify. We should mortify our body. It is conscious effort that we need to do from time to time. If we are going to surmount our flesh, we mortify by surmounting our flesh. We crucify our flesh. We don't have any sale of our own. It is what the Lord wants us to do that we do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. In verse 12, all things are lawful unto me. This is the challenge. I told you at the beginning of the message that we have the challenge. There is a battle of truth and error. This is where people are hiding. That all things are lawful unto me because we are under the dispensation of grace. But look at what the Bible said. They did not continue. They did not complete the reading. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, But I will not be brought under the power of any. Self is not only taking care of sensual sin or sinful thing, it's taking care of some lawful things also. I told you that if a fool will make your brother to stumble, you need to stay away from it. Let us go to chapter 10 of the same First Corinthians that we are reading. And we read verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You need to ask yourself, what I'm trying to do now, did it edify? Did anybody get any reasoning from what I'm doing? Or what I'm doing did not make any meaning in the kingdom, and it's not making meaning to the people in the kingdom. In chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. That is what we are talking about, self-denial. You are temperate in all things, not on one thing. Nor the do is to obtain a corruptible crown. But we are incorruptible, and therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight her, not as one that beated the air. I pray that the Lord Almighty will help us. But I keep under my body and bring it into under subjection. That is self-denial. You bring your body under subjection. Let that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. After I've been called a brother, a sister, a pastor, or whatsoever, I should not be a castaway. For this, I need to keep my body under subjection. The Lord is reminding us today that we need to surrender. We need to surrender our body for crucifixion. We need to surrender our body for mortification. We need to surrender our body for the leadership and directive of the Holy Spirit. There's an ongoing conflict between the divine spirit of God and the carnal self. They are by side and fighting all the time. Paul described this ongoing struggle as captivity to the law of sin. We can submit ourselves only by God's grace and the Holy Spirit power. To serve God acceptably, the struggle with self must cease, because self will not allow us to serve God acceptably. Self will not allow us to be available for God, because it's all about selfishness. We always disappear into the thin air when it comes to the things of God. But when it comes to our personal gain, we are always available, more than enough time. The Lord is calling us into repentance today. The Lord is reminding us to surrender. We need to surrender our life. If we have done it before, we need to do it again and again until the image of Christ is stamped into our heart. We need to do it all over and all over again. We must flee from things that edify not. All the things that do not edify. There are a lot of modification in our own generation. All the things that are not good for Christians in the past, they said that is for old dispensation. And this is a new generation. And God understands this new generation. And because God understands this new generation, we can do whatsoever we like. The Lord said no. That is contrary to the word of God. We should run away from everything that edifies not. And we need to surrender to God for our flesh mortification. As we surrender today, the Lord Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. We want to look at the last part of our message, steadfast and selfless lifestyle of a believer. Steadfast and selfless lifestyle of a believer. You need to live a healthy lifestyle. And it is methodical, it is systematic to live. You need to move from selfishness to selflessness. If you are going to enjoy your Christian experience, and if you are going to get the best from the Lord, you need to move from selfishness and you move to selflessness. That is the only time you can enjoy your Christian life. That is the only time you can get the best from the Lord. You need to switch. And the Lord is calling us to that switch today, that we will move from selfishness, we will move to selflessness. The Lord wants us to be concerned for our own life, and to have concern for the life of others. Not all about us. If Jesus will think about himself alone, he will not die for our sin, and you and I will perish forever. If Jesus Christ will think about the resources, the joy, the benefit in heaven, he will not deny himself and come to the earth to shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. The Lord is calling us that it's not all about us. When we become Christian, it's not all about us anymore. It's about us and it is about others. When we are unbeliever, we live a life of unbeliever. We don't care about others. We are selfish. We do a lot of sensual things. We do a lot of greedy things. But now that we are born again, and we profess that all things are passed away, and all things are passed away, we need to allow God to take over our life, and we need to begin to live a new life that we profess in the sight of the Lord. I read from the book of Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Can people see your selflessness, or they are seeing your selfishness? That is the question you will ask yourself. Even the wife that is close to you in your house, can he see your selfishness or your selflessness? Can your husband that is close to you in your house see your selfishness or your selflessness? I read Ruth chapter 2 and I read verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and hast come unto a people which thou knowest not, here theretofore. Boaz was applauding the selfless service of Ruth. And Ruth may not be conscious of what she was doing, because that was her lifestyle. But Boaz made her to understand that what you have done was noticed, and it was highly appreciated. Can God notice your selfless lifestyle? Can God applaud you for your selfless lifestyle? Can the Lord give you applause for your selfless lifestyle? That is the question. The lifestyle of Ruth was noticed and it was appreciated. The same thing in the kingdom of God. When we do the right thing in the sight of the Lord will notice it, and the Lord will appreciate us. The Lord will commend us for it. The Lord is calling us to this selfless service today. The Lord is calling us to this selfless service today. He wants to turn our life around. In the book of Esther, chapter 4. In the book of Esther, chapter 4. And I'm reading there, verse 15 and 16. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, neither night or day. I also and my maiden will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Have you taken your life selfless service to this point that you say, if I perish, I perish? That means that what I want to undertake can claim my life. And I will not stop from doing it. I will still go ahead to do it. That is what he's telling us today. And it's a challenge to us. That he took our life in our hand to enter into the presence of the king when king did not invited her, which indicates it untimely death. But he did it. Therefore, this is the exhortation of the Lord to us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We can only accomplish this when we are selfless. When self is taken out of our life, selfishness is taken out of our life. For as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All what we are doing is not in vain. Pastor told us, if it is in vain, then there's no need to sacrifice. There's no need to jeopardize our life. It is not in vain. Boaz commended Ruth for her selfless lifestyle. Esther risked her life for the sake of her fellow Jews. Abraham showed Lot an exemplary, selfless lifestyle. Abraham told Lot in Genesis chapter 13, verse 9, if you are going to the right, I will go to the left. And if you are going to the left, I will go to the right. Selfless service. But what we do today is believers are fighting themselves. Not only that, they are giving themselves boxing and wrestling, they even tie themselves to courts. And there are a lot of scandal, a lot of confusion that people are taking up and down. We cannot settle our matter amicably anymore. We are not easily entreated. The Lord said we should learn from Abraham. Self is still in us. When we say, I'm Mr. No Nonsense, I'm Sister No Nonsense, where did you see no nonsense in the Bible? The Bible told us that Jesus Christ is meek and lowly. The small thing, they refile him, he did not refile back. If we are following this Christ, then how can we be brother no nonsense and sister no nonsense? That is not possible. What about Moses? Moses, he forsook the prayer and trial of Egypt and lived a selfless lifestyle to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He has gotten to a place where he can claim that I'm a fortunate generation. All what befalling me now did not befall any of my brother or sister. They were not brought up in the palace. I was brought up in the palace. They did not have access to Pharaoh. I have access to Pharaoh. People are our bodyguard. My sibling did not have bodyguard. Then I've reached my posthum, but not Moses. Not Moses. Moses did not reach his posthum in the land of Egypt. He did not stick and stay with the player and trail of Egypt because he knows God has a better plan for him. Do you know that God has a better plan for you when you are begin to live a selfless life? And he left the palace and he went to the wilderness. You can compare the two together. The player and the trail in the palace. What do you have in the wilderness? Suffering, pain, agony, thirst, hunger. But he left. What about widow of Zarephath? In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12 to 15, what about this widow of Zarephath? Despite the looming death, the Lord sent Elijah to him. And Elijah said, make the food for me first. And Pastor told us that we must give our first to the Lord. Make for me first. And after me, then you can think about yourself. Elijah, don't you know that I told you that we just want to prepare this meal and eat and die? Elijah said that is not the issue. The issue is obedience. And obedience is better than sacrifice. And sacrifice is better than the fat of a ram. Obey, and you'll be free. And widow of Zarephath got it. I pray that we will get it right today. And she put on selfless service. Prepare for the man of God and never care about him. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2, the Bible told us that they have all things in common. There was no separation. They were flocking together, doing the will of God together, praising God together, have concern for one another. When they took Peter into the prison, all the church gathered together, they were praying for him. We are talking about selflessness. Nobody will say, I cannot miss my bed. I cannot pray. I cannot have Fiji. They were doing all things still together. And they were praying. They were praying. They were praying. And when the angel brought him from the prison, he met them where they were praying. Brethren, the Lord is calling us into a selfless service. Before we pray, we need to check some aspects in the Bible. In the book of Judges, and I'm going to read verse 15 to 18. That's a message for us there. And the princes of Issachar, were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot in the valley, for the division of Reuben, there was great thought of heart. I want you to fix your name in any of this Bible character. Either you are living a selfish life or you are living a selfless life. There was a war, there was a battle, and they need to fight for the Lord. They need to conquer the enemy of the Lord. And Deborah is summoned his people together as a mother in Israel for them to go to the battle. Let us look at the Bible character one after the other. Number one, Issachar. Issachar were with Deborah. Are you also with God? Do you know that you cannot draw closer to God with yourself? You need to take care of self for you to draw closer to God. Issachar was with Deborah. And Barak also, he led the infantry. He was with Deborah. Then let us cross to Reuben. What happened to Reuben? Reuben was not stable. For the division of Reuben, there were great thought of heart. They did not make up their mind that they want to go for the war. They were just doing up and doing, unstable. And why abode thou among the sheepfold? Brethren, listen. There's nothing wrong to abode among the sheepfold. There's nothing wrong to hear the bleating of the flock. But they were aborting in the sheep flock at the wrong time. This is not the time to abode among the sheepfold. It is time to go for the battle of the Lord. This is not the time to be promoting self because the coming of the Lord is at hand. This is not the time to be listening to the bleating. That is the crying of the sheep. This is not the time to be listening to the bleating of the flock. And for the division of Reuben, there were great searching of hearts. They were not stable. They did not make up their mind to go for the battle or not. But something happened. Their conscience was with them. Their conscience was smiting them. Their conscience smote them. That is why the Bible told us great searching of hearts. Their conscience was challenging them. Do you think you are doing the right thing? Whenever you allow sin, your conscience will smite you. Unless you don't pay attention to it. In verse 17, Gilead abode beyond Jordan. He was counting mileage. He was counting mileage. How long will it take me? Can I make this journey? The journey is too far. Are you counting journey far for the sacrifice in the kingdom of God to live a selfless life? And why did Dan remain in sheep? That is the question that is coming to us today. Why did Dan, when he's supposed to be at the battlefront, why did Dan remain in sheep? Dan remained in sheep because of selfishness. Because of selfishness. That is why Dan remained in sheep. He will not let his merchandise go when it is time to do the battle for the Lord. And Asa continue on the seashore. You have been trading all the while. This little time to give to the Lord because of selfishness. Asa did not have time for God. He continued on the seashore. Do you want to continue with self? Self is unprofitable. And verse 18, we can see selfless character there. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their life unto the death in the high places of the death. Time and chance appeared to all of them. Time and chance appeared to Issachar. Time and chance appeared to Barak. Time and chance appeared to Reuben. Time and chance appeared to Dan. Time and chance appeared to Asher. Time and chance appeared to Zebulun and Naphtali. But not all of them used the time and the chance the same way. Some were selfish. Why? Some, they were selfless. In Hosea chapter 7, as we want to pray. Hosea chapter 7, verse 14 and 16. And they have not cried unto me. What are you going to do in your room today? As we want to pray, look at the word of the Lord, and they have not cried unto me. Are you going to be looking at the screen when it is time to pray? You want to be like Israelites in the book of Hosea chapter 7, and they have not cried unto me. Let us see what they were doing. They did not cry unto the Lord. They listened to the message. They were not moved. They did not cry unto the Lord. They were opening their eyes, looking at the screen. They were not praying. They were moving around. They were not praying. They did not pray the message in into their life. And they have not cried unto me with their hearts when they hold upon their pen. No, it's not enough to hold. Hold is like making emotional noise, like bond, like aunts, like a force. But you may make noise and not meant the noise you are making. You need to be determined to be free from self today. You need to give your all unto the Lord. And in verse 16, they return. When a brother is praying, a sister is praying, oh God, I am returning. Oh God, I return. Oh God, I return. Oh God, I return. And everybody is praising bro and sister. But let us see what follow. They return, but not to the Most High. Who are you going to return to today? Are you going to return back to your flesh? They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the range of their tongue. This shall be their terracing in the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. They return, but not to the Most High. Who are you returning to today? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Look inwardly. Look at your life. What about this self? This self, this self. When it comes to money, that is self. When it comes to time, that is self. When it comes to worship, that is self. When it comes to devotion to the Lord, that is self. When it comes to go extra mile with the Lord, that is self. And what is self doing in your life? Self is always pulling you back, pulling you back, pulling you back. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to take you to extra mile, but self is pulling you back. Why can't you cut yourself off from yourself today? And why can't you address yourself and say, no, you cannot control my life anymore. I'm not a slave to you anymore. Please, Pastor, you can take over.
Brethren, it's time now to pray. The Lord will help us. If you check the meaning of selfishness, simply put, lack of consideration for others. When we do things and we don't consider other people, then we are selfish. And if we have dealings or do as the world operates, we have concern for others, that is at the general world level. But the Christian's definition of selfishness goes deeper than that. The Lord enjoins us to put others first. This message today, brethren, if you're not born again, it may not make any meaning. But I pray the Lord will open our eyes to get the best from it as we pray together in Jesus' name. The power of self-denial and victory over self. Self-denial. The Lord wants us to serve Him above everything else. There are many people that struggle between themselves and God. They want to achieve everything in the world. It is not wrong, obviously not bad, to aim to attain the best we can, and that is the will of God for us. However, as we strive for the best, remember also we need to carry God along with us. Let's bow our head and tell the Lord today, in my quest for whatever, oh God, you number one. Selfishness will drive you away from the presence of God. Selfishness will drive you away, even the fellowship among the brethren. Selfishness will make you to pick holes in a relationship with the members of the local church where you are. Selfishness will not make you to align with others in the fellowship. Selfishness gives birth to pride, vaulting ambition, and trampling over others. You see yourself as everything, You are the most polished, classy. Everybody looks village-like. I cannot be in the same fellowship with them. They are not as educated or fluent as I am. Selfishness has many manifestations. And as children of God, the Lord wants us. The Lord wants us not to be selfish. We have to exalt others and be humble. Of course, you know, humility is the opposite of
Okay.
foolishness. Please
Thank
mute your mic. Help us, IT. Let's pray the Lord will help us. He will give you that grace to deny self. When you deny self, you will see that serving God is so nice, so sweet. What an experience. The Lord has charged us today to put away selfishness. Deny yourself and serve God with all your heart. The servant of God read for us Romans chapter 15 and said we should bear one another's infirmity. When we are selfish, other people are pained, are suffering, are going through some small comfortable situations. We are so engrossed with our own self, how to take care of our family. But when we are selfless, there is that concern for other people in the fellowship. And that is the level the Lord wants us to attain. Brethren, as a church, God forbid that we should have homeless people in our midst. When we have people also in our midst who have so much resources as to spare, a church where that operates is not a church of God. Selfishness. Selfishness. The Lord wants us to do away with it. Let's pray against it. Do you see yourself so proud? You see that manifestation of pride in you, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself. Pray that the Lord will give you the grace. The Lord will give you the grace to be humble. Let's look at the relationship with one another as spouses. You have your spouse there with you. Maybe for one reason or the other, your spouse isn't working, but you have some money. Why will you subject your spouse to emotional turmoil? Sometimes very challenging to even feed, but you have that money. Brethren, that is selfishness. You have that money, children. No, daddy have that money, or mommy have that money. But since daddy is not, mommy is not working, the whole house is so dry. Selfishness. Let's pray the Lord will take away selfishness from our midst. When it is manifested, the Spirit of God cannot be there. Either at the family level or at the church level. It could also be among siblings. Maybe you are here, God has helped you and elevated you, where you can render some help to your siblings. You have what it takes to assist them, but you feel it is not necessary. They are lazy. A selfish person sees others as lazy, without even listening to them about the circumstance they have gone through. Let's pray the Lord will help us. He will give us the grace not to be selfish. The Lord has charged us today with examples of those who were selfless. See Esther. Esther remains a model to contemporary children of God. Esther remains a model and a challenge to us today. Esther charged Mordecai, "Fast ye for me. I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish." Esther carried her own life in her hands. That lady would have died. But by the grace of God, the Lord intervened. You see what selflessness can do. And today, we are still reading about Esther. If Jesus tarries in some years to come, we are still going to be studying about Esther. Esther is a model of selflessness. What about Ruth? See Orpah. Orpah looked at the future. There may not be husband for me. If I follow this woman, I will die single. I need to fulfill the desires of my flesh. And eventually she went back. Brethren, but have this other lady. She has to go. Ruth has to go. You see, when we are selfish, We are so concerned about our future. But when we are selfless, we throw our future into the hand of God. The Lord will lead, the Lord will provide. That's what Ruth did. Ruth aligned herself with the God of her mother-in-law, Naomi. So where you die, I will die. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And she made up her mind. I'm going with this woman. Brethren, have you made up your mind to go with the Lord Jesus? Remember, the Lord, he is mighty. He knows your future. You can, there is no how. You will certainly regret it. That you put God aside and you want to chase all the shadows of the world. By the time you fill your hands with those shadows, eventually it will be too late. Carry Jesus along in your pursuit of success. Carry Jesus along in your pursuit of attainment. Carry Jesus along as you pursue your professional glory. Jesus will guide you. There are many people who have burned their fingers. By the time they realize it, they've made so much mistakes. But brethren, you are hearing the word of God today. When you are praying, tell the Lord, help me. I don't want to enter into these avoidable challenges. I want to carry you along. We also heard about Lot and Abraham. Lot remains an example of selfishness. Look at selfish choice. This is your uncle who brought you up. Your uncle through whom you got to this status you are. If you had, oh Lot, that your servants are quarreling with your uncle's servant, could you not have advised and rebuked your servant? And even when your uncle came up and told you, choose first, Lord, you rushed to choose the greenish place. And eventually, he lost everything. But Abraham remained an example of selflessness. Abraham waited for Lord. Brethren, the Lord charges us. Are there Abrahams on the platform today? Why will a brother go to law against another brother? Is it because there is no wise man among you? Now, therefore, the apostle wrote to the Corinthian believer and said, now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Brethren, among spouses, let us pray. The Lord will kill self in our lives. He will kill self in our lives. Self is not supposed to be found in us. The Lord will help us. He will help us. He will help us. No self. No self. Jesus, number one, when once this flesh is crucified, when once this flesh is made to be where it's supposed to be, Jesus is exalted. All your choices, all your interests, all your preferences, all your values are aligned in line with the word of God. You will see how glorious it is to serve God. Yet, you can still make their professional success and climb that professional ladder. You can still be what God wants you to be. You see, many people want to chase glory first before God. It doesn't work that way. Jesus first. Like the nation of Israel was speaking yesterday, he said that God first. Do you have that motto? Do you have that theme? That driving purpose? God first. For me, God first. Every decision, God first. We are to live, God first. We are to walk, God first. What to do, God first. And if you have that God first, you would have succeeded to crucify self. Let's pray together. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your message. Thank you, O Lord, for the word. We have heard, O God, today that self will destroy us. Self, O God, will not allow us to make it. Self will cause us to have buffet things and burn our fingers and destroy our relationships. Father, look on us, O God. You know us. Look at all the brethren. Look at everyone on the platform. Are their selves, oh God, manifested in our relationships, in everything we do? We pray. Take away self in Jesus' name. Father, we are asking the grace to deny self. Father, you've taught us today and reminded us about those that were selfish in their decision. Esther, Oko, Ruth, Abraham, even Deborah. Lord, we want to pray these examples. Who will live, O God, emulate them in Jesus' name. Father, after this program, wherever self will manifest itself, open our eyes to identify it early and crush it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the word. As we continue in this program, we are open to more of your blessings. We give you the glory for the answer. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I hear?